right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, 2015. And this says Before the First Cup of Jewels and Lady Pitbull here on UCY.TV. Good morning, Lady Pitbull.
Hey, where are you?
Good. It's 51 degrees here. The warmest day since November, they're saying.
Yay, it's 49 here, so you're a little warmer.
It's actually supposed to get nicer, but more inland. Anywhere near the lakes with all that ice, you're not going to get too warm. So that's probably why you're not too toasty right now.
Yeah, we just had a thunderstorm roll through here real quick.
Oh, they said we might get one tonight, so that would be awesome.
Yep. So the stuff that we just got, you're getting later.
Yep. And then snowstorm. I don't know if you're in for one. I know they said for us Saturday.
Wow. No, we're not having any snow here. It's just supposed to be like 45.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah, I don't think there's going to be much, but still, it's going to be pretty shitty driving.
I'm glad that there's no snowstorm on Saturday because it's the Ann Arbor Hash Bash.
Oh!
Tommy Chong's going to be there, man.
Oh, well, you should put out a call to anyone around Michigan.
Yep, absolutely.
I know we have a couple listeners, at least, that are from the state.
Yep, downtown in the Diag there, right there at high noon.
In Detroit?
No, in Ann Arbor.
In Ann Arbor, gotcha.
Yep. Ann Arbor, Michigan, right there on the Diag.
Well, that's awesome. Is that a yearly event?
Yeah, every year. I think this is like the 44th year or something like that.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it went on for that long.
Yeah, it's been going on since the 60s. Like, really, really. I think it was when, I don't know, somebody was in jail and John Lennon came to the first one and played and in protest. I can't remember who it was that was in jail, though. I think it was John Sinclair, which I don't like that guy too much at all. he's a hippie.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, yeah. You don't need to either. It's not worth it.
So that's cool. Starts tomorrow or Friday, Saturday?
It's Saturday at high noon. Right in the Diag of Ann Arbor. Just follow all the freaky people.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
There's definitely a lot of them walking around, that's for sure. But it's always fun. I like it. It's always a good time.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So anything catch your attention between yesterday and today?
Absolutely. I was watching Al Jazeera last night, you know, really quickly.
And apparently,
yeah, Al Jazeera. No. They the Saudis bombed a refugee camp in Yemen, killed a bunch of innocents.
Oh, you knew that was coming. I saw actually the Navy got involved now, too.
Of course. And now apparently the rebels have captured the presidential palace in Yemen. So that's going on. So it's getting crazy there. Absolutely crazy. I think it's the hook to unhook all of the rest of the Middle East into abject chaos.
Well, I saw it too. So, you know, the whole Yemeni thing is all revolving around these Iranian rebels too. Mm-hmm. And the nuclear talks are still going on. But this morning, I got up at like 6 o'clock because I went to bed early last night and I can't help it then. Once I go to bed early, I'm like, bing. And my father, he gets up at like 5. So he had the TV on and they were talking about the nuclear talks. And I guess China, Russia, Italy and France all walked away, and ooh, Kerry's still there. And here's what's interesting. Oh, there's an insect in my coffee.
Ew.
Yes, well, he's gone now. Here's one of the things that's interesting. I had a spider, too, this morning when I went to go make coffee. Here's one thing that's interesting about that is that pay attention because Russia just sold Iran a whole shit ton of nuclear reactors. You know, Iran trades in their own monetary denomination for oil between Russia and China, right? So, I mean, they're already all kind of on their same team. But what I found, I don't understand the Italian thing, but absolutely with France, France is the country, Areva especially, and it's a big nuclear producer, and they're the ones that cart around this reprocessed fuel that you know, it was actually in the reactors when Fukushima melted down. So,
Wow.
you know, France walking away from these negotiations when they feel that we're putting Iran's feet to the fire makes a lot of sense. But here's the thing that really gets me. Like we were saying yesterday, Iran was fighting side by side in Iraq with the Iraqis against ISIS. And we didn't like that too much. And all of a sudden, you saw some rumblings that came out, and they're like, oh, maybe this is dangerous. We shouldn't be working with Iran. And the next thing you know, Saudis go in and start bombing under the guise in Yemen that there's these Iraqi rebels there that are trying to unseat the what Saudis are calling the legitimate government, but we all know is the puppet US government.
Exactly. And really, they're just using the US to come in there, and they're fighting like tribal battles that we have no business being involved in.
None at all. None at all. So I saw yesterday that now there was a Navy ship parked in the Gulf of Aden. I guess there's all kinds of loading and unloading that's happening there. But I think we might have started lobbing some missiles. Hold on, I will go double check that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have. Pretty sure, especially if they overtook the presidential palace in Yemen. I mean, that's pretty much of a big deal.
And who took that? Saudi? Or the rebels?
It was the rebels, the Shiite rebels, which are pretty much Saudis, right? I mean, aren't the Saudis
That I
Shiites?
don't know.
I believe that's the case. Although Brandy would know for sure.
Yeah, that I don't know. I know the Sunnis are the more modern, group there, but and the Shia are the more traditional group that like to hack body parts off.
I can read it real quick. It says Yemeni security officials say Shiite rebels and their allies have captured the presidential palace in Aden following heavy clashes in the commercial center of the southern coastal city. Thursday's capture came despite a week-long airstrikes in Yemen led by a Saudi-led coalition trying to halt the advance of the rebels known as the Houthis. So apparently that's not the Saudis. Aden's Mahiq Palace is a cluster of colonial-era villas perched atop a rocky hill that juts into the Arabian Sea. The palace was President Abed Rabo Mansour Hadi's last seat of power before he fled to Saudi Arabia last month amid the Houthi violence. Or amid the Houthi advance, officials spoke in the condition on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak to the media. Of course not. So that's the end of that story.
Here, U.S. Navy joins Saudi Arabian airstrikes against Yemen. This was yesterday. It came out of Press TV, which, of course, is the Iranian TV network. But on the other hand, you know, I mean, I've known Press TV to come out with stuff that is absolutely true and you've never seen on the news here. It says the U.S. Navy has reportedly joined the Saudi Arabian fighter jets in the airstrikes against Yemen, military sources have told Russian media. So I would imagine RT probably has a video about this as well, that U.S. warships took part in Monday's assault against the Yemenis. The sources said American ships launched a cruise missile on a strengthened missile brigade. The airstrikes began after Saudi warplanes failed to hit the Ansarullah Movement's weapon depot. This is the first announcement of a collaboration between the U.S. military and Saudi Arabia in the attack on Yemen. Obama has expressed support of the assault on the people of Yemen one day after the airstrikes began last week.
What a
So,
warmonger.
yeah, absolutely. And like,
Unbelievable.
I just don't even understand where this cash is coming from. I mean, the printing presses are just rolling. We just sent $1.3 billion in weapons to Egypt, like we talked about yesterday. And I'm trying to scroll back to see if I can find that story about the space defense system that we just launched. Here we go. U.S. readies $5 billion for the anti-China orbital defense weaponry.
What?
This was out of our tea. Again, it's a video. So I don't know. I got everything. I messed around for about an hour trying to get videos set up here, and it definitely gives me an echo. So I don't know if we're going to do that. I mean, we can, but it sounds like you're in a big, empty concert hall.
Oh.
It says the U.S. is planning to splash out up to $5 billion on orbital defense. The one key reason behind the spending spree, according to Washington, is a potential threat from China. Of course it is.
A potential. Come on.
But, like, where's all this? I just can't even believe that they have gotten us to the point where we don't even bat an eyeball at blowing $5 billion on something when we have Jerry Brown coming out yesterday. Did you see that? And now we
did
an executive order, 25% cut across the board for water usage.
Yeah.
And what is that? 25%.
That's going to really hurt the farmers. I mean, if the farmers were hurt last year, this is going to really send prices of food going just through.
Well, not only that, but I was watching a clip this morning. Farmers are going to have to report water usage.
Oh, my God.
Now, isn't that like grooming us for the future?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all a freaking UN Agenda 21 agenda. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, and we lost, what, 500 million in weapons somewhere in Yemen, too? Remember that one? I mean, we just keep pumping money.
Oh, I didn't
know
that was Yemen. I know we've lost them all over the Middle East.
Yeah, well, there was some, that was like the last 2 weeks. That was news in the last two weeks.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and
that was one of those things that I'd been desensitized to.
Right.
Large shipments of arms getting lost into the hands of terrorists that were drop-shipped.
Right.
Whoops.
Exactly.
Again. Oh, well. I must have missed that one because, you know, it didn't catch my attention. It's pretty horrible the way they do that, too.
Yeah, it's just they report it for like one day and then up it gets swept under the rug and never gets brought up again. Hopefully it goes down the memory hole, you know,
yeah,
which is exactly
it.
What happens. It's we don't have this kind of money to be spending on this crap anymore. But, you know, hey, it keeps the corporate board rolling, you know.
And it keeps Congress millionaires.
That's right. Absolutely. Kickback city.
Well, and you know, they all insider trade, don't forget. So.
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, invest in the war machine and the biopharma. Speaking of biopharma, I wanted to bring up a story I ran across late last night that I found really disturbing, considering we've been digging into dopamine and how dopamine interacts with the body, the creation of dopamine, how video games causes you to make dopamine, how dopamine is kind of that dangling carrot addictiveness. It causes that whole area of the brain that gets addicted to things such as cocaine and nicotine. It interacts there. We also looked at dopamine's ability in psychopathy. They've found that psychopaths tend to have overproducing or over requirements for dopamine, which puts them into a psychopathic frame of mind. I also was reading a study the other day in regards to kids that were video game junkies and how the side of the brain that produces dopamine was actually larger than it should have been. Like the overproduction was causing the brain to actually require more production. And that's how it works. Sorry, we were talking about that desensitization. You know, most addictive substances work like that. So today you might need one. Tomorrow you're going to need two if you're going to want it the same high from what you had the day before, right?
Mm-hmm. So in other words, like the video games are turning kids into psychotics.
Into psychopaths, yes, yeah. Absolutely. So here's we also were looking at Dr. Huber and some of his studies that he had done on glyphosate, and I'm trying to remember exactly what we had learned about the bees and dopamine. Do you remember him talking about that? He was talking about it affecting the dopamine, and it was a reduction in dopamine in the bees. And so anyway, in some of the studies that we've looked at over the last 10 weeks or so, a couple times we've run across now, scientists tend to like to use a couple different insects. One happens to be a fruit fly, and one, the other, is a mosquito, right? And we have these new GMO mosquitoes now that are going to protect us against chikungunya virus, right? They're going to go and eat all the eggs and not be able to produce, but they're the size of pterodactyls, and they can stab you like a knife through your clothes. Well, check this out. So I see this story yesterday, and the insecticide in the title caught my attention, but then I read the first paragraph, and I was like, holy shit. New class of insecticides offers safer, more targeted mosquito control.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, that's good. Safer and more targeted. Now, where have we heard targeted type of medicine before?
Oh, yes, nanobots.
Well, not nanobots in particular, but precision medicine, right? This getting down to the genomics of things, or getting down to how the intricacies of the body work, is now the new, you know, the new buzzword. It's where all the money is going. So here, let's check this out. Purdue researchers have identified a new class of chemical insecticides that could provide a safer, more selective means of controlling mosquitoes that transmit key infectious diseases such as dengue, yellow fever, and this made me raise an eyebrow, elephantitis. Have you ever known elephantitis to be spread by mosquitoes?
No, not that I've ever
I thought there was a
heard.
Genetic disorder. So do we have to be worried about getting elephantitis if we get bitten by now mosquitoes? Or is that something that came out of Plum Island?
Jeez.
I've never heard of elephantitis. Someone in the chat room who lives in a tropical nation, please let me know if I am wrong in this. And maybe if we – I didn't actually look it up, so I bet you if I do, they'll say, oh, yeah, well, sometimes found in mosquitoes. I have never seen – elephantitis mentioned as something that we're worried about and have to come up with new insecticides to kill mosquitoes so they don't spread it. Okay.
Yeah. What does that mean? You get bitten, then you start growing bumps all over you? What?
Elephantitis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the
elephant. Okay. That caught my attention. Now let's go into the next section. Known as a dopamine receptor antagonist, the chemicals beat out the neurotransmitter dopamine to lock onto protein receptors that span the mosquito cell membrane, disrupting the mechanics of dopamine, which plays a very important role in cell signaling, movement, development, and complex behaviors, eventually leads to the insect's death. Now, let's think about what that just said for a second. They've developed a new insecticide that can lock onto protein receptors that require dopamine. And when it locks onto the protein receptors for dopamine, which plays an important role in your cell signaling, your movement, your development, and your complex behaviors, it leads to the insect's death.
Wow.
So the fact that there's been all kinds of research going into dopamine and the way it interacts in the human brain, and now we're coming up with insecticides that block dopamine receptors in insects, and we know that as we spray these poisons everywhere, they're ending up in the food, air, and water. Does this sound like such a good idea to you?
Hell no. That's going to eventually happen to us if it's going to happen like on a micro level like that.
Right. The canary in the coal mine. And think about this, too. How about the fact that we've created now this entire generation of quote unquote potentially psychopathic individuals who require large amounts of dopamine to be infused into their system?
Wow.
And they get exposed to some sort of airborne insecticide that now blocks those receptors. What's going to happen to those people?
They're going to go absolutely batshit crazy.
Right. Are they going to go nuts? Are they going to drop dead?
Yeah, maybe if the mosquitoes are dropping dead from it.
I mean, I don't know. I just read this first section and I was like, wow, there's some real implications to this. Mad science gone mad, and the world is the petri dish. Says the researchers use the mosquito genome to pinpoint chemicals that will be more selective than current insecticides, which bind readily to molecules in humans and non-target insects, said Catherine Hill, professor of entomology and Showater faculty scholar. These are sophisticated designer drugs, she said. They're like personalized medicine. Didn't I say that?
Yes, you did.
For mosquitoes. But in this case, the medicine is lethal. Now, wasn't that my concern about personalized medicine? Like, once they let this shit go in your body, how do you know that that's actually what it's going to do to you, what they say?
Right.
How do you know that there isn't an Easter egg hidden inside there somewhere, and as soon as you trigger it, the red button gets pushed?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And, you know, when you look back then, just let's even start with GMOs, and then let's start with this RNAi that we spent weeks and weeks on as well. You know, companies like Monsanto, who are working on insecticides, are right in step with the genomics that are working on pharmaceuticals and personalized medicine. This is all the same technology.
That's right. It's biological warfare.
It's biological genocide.
Yes, absolutely.
Usurpation of biology.
Yes.
So anyway, back to the story. Hill's team showed that, and I'm trying, I hate when they use acronyms and they don't tell you what they mean. What is DAR? That DAR antagonists, which must be this disrupting receptor antagonist, dopamine receptor antagonists, that's what it stands for, have a high potency for both the larval and adult stages of the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which is the ones that those other GMO mosquitoes from Oxitec were going after, which transmit yellow fever, dengue, and chikungunya, or whatever I call it. And then there's a dash, and it says, and quinquefasciitis, the vector of West Nile virus, and the disfiguring disease, elephantitis.
Damn.
Again, like with an and, like an afterthought.
Yeah.
I research project, let's find out if elephantitis was always spread by Aegypti mosquitoes. I've never heard that before.
Me neither.
And we up in upstate New York, we have had to worry about West Nile virus as well as any tick-borne diseases.
Right.
You know, we're pretty infested up here. Effective pest control has historically been important in slowing the spread of mosquito-borne diseases, but overuse of antibiotics and insecticides has led to a ring of drug-resistant strains of infectious diseases and the emergence of mosquitoes that can withstand conventional pesticides. A double whammy, says Hill. There is an urgent need for new insecticides, she said, and we are seeing a resurgence of infectious diseases that were for the last 50 years we had the luxury of controlling with antibiotics and modern medicine. These diseases are increasingly going to become a problem for people everywhere. Now, how interesting that she is spinning this now into an anti-vaxxer argument, as mm-hmm. well as this $2 billion that Obama just pledged, plus the executive order inked back in July of last year to the fight of superbugs.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, because of the overuse of antibiotics, which she takes that flag and waves it in regards to this new insecticide and, in the past, these genetically modified Oxitec mosquitoes that were to combat the exact diseases except for the elephantitis. They didn't mention that one.
No, conveniently not. They're going to start to, though, after this new one gets introduced.
Have you ever known anyone to get elephantitis from a mosquito bite?
No.
Or have heard of anyone who gets elephantitis from a mosquito bite?
Not even in passing.
Or heard of a global pandemic of elephantitis caused by mosquitoes?
Wow. Is this akin to the zombie apocalypse? I mean,
no,
really?
No, this is akin to the single fruit bat tree that they found that caused the whole Ebola outbreak in Africa.
Right.
Right,
exactly.
Where the kids played.
Right.
They
right.
found the very tree with the infected fruit bat. That's what it's
that
akin
they
to.
Released into the environment.
Well, yes, that they believed that the fruit bats.
Right.
had maybe had something to do with the Ebola outbreak. But we found the tree.
Which is still raging, by the way. And
it is. No, actually, it isn't. Well, it is, but it wasn't. See, it fell out of favor while they were trying to get all of this testing on humans up and running, remember? Because it was never approved in humans, all of these new genomics cures that they've come up with. And once they were ready with 5 or 6 different vaccinations in the pipeline, oh my God, Sierra Leone, oh my God, Guinea, they had a resurgence. Sierra Leone is now under martial law again, and they're under lockdown. But it was very curious how it had died down to almost nothing. And then just as they're getting ready and they start having success, we have this major resurgence again. Mm-hmm. So it makes you wonder if, you know, all of these biopharma companies that had gone public right before Ebola even became something we discussed. And then we didn't have a massive outbreak, remember? Right? And then we didn't really have anything in the pipeline. They still had to scrabble. But now that they have it in the pipeline, it is all over again.
Yep, absolutely.
And what happened to the 7? They just flew back to the United States last week or the week before.
You haven't heard a single word about that.
Was that just to put it back in the front of your mind so now Ebola stocks are going to go up?
Yeah, that's right.
Because, God, it might break out here. The research team designed DAR and target antagonists to disrupt molecules that are crucial to mosquito survival. The chemicals are structurally distinct from existing insecticides and target a different biochemical path in the mosquito. This phone, you know what I said this morning? I'm going to put that phone in another room, and then I never did. The team is mining a group of about 200 DAR antagonists to find the most promising chemicals for commercial products. And the insecticides could be cost-effective compared with current products that had a low environmental impact because of their selectivity. Researchers are also taking steps to minimize the risk that the insecticides could bind with human dopamine, ding, 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 receptors, said Val Watts, professor of medicinal chemistry and molecular pharmacology and co-author of the studies. So they're taking steps to minimize the risk.
Sure. How are they going to do that? That's
well, let's find out. Quote, many of the compounds we've identified are selective for mosquito receptors versus human receptors, some at more than 100-fold. Also, some of these compounds are already used as treatments for diseases such as schizophrenia and depression. Wow, check that out. So if they sprayed this shit, they could be doing a double dose. It would be like putting the lithium in the water.
Sure.
And they are safely handled by physicians and pharmacists each and every day. The tougher challenge may be ensuring the insecticides do not affect beneficial insects such as honeybees, which we already are finding out that honeybees are having an issue with dopamine. And while the researchers have identified chemicals that are highly selective for mosquito receptors, they are also exploring the possibility of heightening insecticide specificity by using allosteric modulators, molecules that act like dimmer switches, dialing up or dialing down the cell's response to dopamine. Wow, doesn't that sound like a nice new experiment being used in the global Petri dish?
That's creepy as hell.
Dialing up or dialing down a cell's response to a certain chemical.
That just sent a chill up my spine.
I bet we're going to find out that this, whatever this allosteric modulator is probably going to end up being an experiment by the military for PTSD vets in the future.
Interesting.
Keep your eye on that because that definitely is interesting. Similar protein receptors exist in the African malaria mosquito, the sandfly, and the tsetse fly, suggesting that DAR antagonists could help to control these disease-transmitting insects as well. We're going after all the big ones, said Hill. A proof-of-concept study on using DAR antagonists to control the A.E. aegypti was published in the Journal of Pharmacology and Experimental Therapeutics. So there you go, provided by Purdue University. And, you know, they make it sound like, though, we're doing studies, we're publishing these studies, and it must be good research, but we found out that the FDA, right, was not removing any scientific studies that were proven to be fraudulent after the fact, after they'd been published, from publications. And there was just a story, and I'm trying to find it right now. I think it was from maybe yesterday, about the one big European scientific journal has been they've been proven over and over again. I guess there's all here it is. Major journal publisher admits to fabricating peer reviews. This was in Science Alert.
What the hell?
I know. It says Biomed Central, a UK-based publishing house that is responsible for distributing, oh, not one, 277 peer-reviewed
Holy
journals,
shit.
Has retracted 43 papers admitting that they had, quote-unquote, fabricated the peer reviews needed to get them published. While most of these papers were written by academics working in the Chinese universities, including the China Medical University, Shuang University, Shandong University, Jingtong University Medical School, and Jingsha Patel, Associate Editorial Director for Research of Integrity at Biomedical Central, told Fred Barbesh at the Washington Post that it is not a China problem. We get a lot of robust research from China. We see this as a broader problem of how scientists are judged. So what do you think of that?
Gosh, you're blame it on Shlong University. I mean, give me a break.
Right. It's I mean, it's rampant. It's rampant. All those studies, you know, Monsanto keeps calling bullshit on any independent study showing that glyphosate causes organ problems, that glyphosate causes cancers. I mean, you remember that study with those rats and those golf ball, no, tennis ball or freaking grapefruit-sized tumors that
That's
these
right.
rats had. And they kept pointing to their research and their researchers saying that's bullshit. Well, I'm telling you, it has come out time and time again now that these scientific studies, a lot of them are being paid for, just like lobbyists are paid to go to Washington and get things that aren't in our best interest passed.
That's right.
You know, it's all about the money. Ding-a-ling. It's all about getting it out there, making a profit. And as we found out, and I mentioned it so many times, the confessions of an RX drug pusher, when April Inverstein had her on interviewing her, she had said it costs them less to put out a product that on the backside they might have to pay some sort of payout for damages than it does for them to do the full research.
Yeah, see, that's insanity.
That is insanity.
And it means that every single solitary everything like that's in these quote unquote research levels needs to be stopped all over the world right immediately. I mean,
well, there needs to be some sort of trustworthy body that's overseeing this, not people who have been compromised by the almighty buck. That's
yeah.
the problem in every level of government, of medicine, of education. It's all about this dangling carrot. Here, talking about the dangling carrot, let's jump to another story that I found. 10 similarities between sugar, junk food, and abusive drugs. And I'm going to tell you, we mentioned this. This is all about the dangling carrot. There are many ridiculous myths in nutrition. The idea that losing weight is all about calories and willpower is one of the worst. The truth is sugar and highly processed junk foods can be highly addictive just like drugs and, of course, high fructose corn syrup as well. Not only are the behavioral systems the same, but the biology also happens to agree. Here are 10 disturbing similarities between sugar, junk food, and abusive drugs. One, junk food floods the brain with
dopamine.
So you can become addicted.
Yeah.
Just like we've been saying. Our brains are hardwired to want to perform certain behaviors, and mostly these are behaviors that are important for our survival, such as eating. And when we eat, a brain hormone called dopamine is released in the area of the brain called the reward system. That's exactly it. We interpret this dopamine signal as pleasure, and the programming in our brain changes to make us want to perform that behavior again. Now, it's interesting, though, that food, good food, does not make you want more and more and more. But I'll tell you what, junk food sure does.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like totally chow in a bag of, I mean, and I don't eat junk food very often, but man, when I do, I definitely could overeat on junk food.
Absolutely.
We interpret this dopamine signal as pleasure. Oh, yeah. And it makes us want to perform that behavior. Again, this is one of the ways the brain has evolved to help us navigate through our natural environment, motivating us to do things that helped our species survive. This is actually a good thing because without dopamine, life would be miserable. But the problem is that some modern things, including our electronic devices as well, can function as super stimuli. They flood our brains with dopamine and video games. They flood our brains with dopamine way more than you were ever exposed to throughout evolution. This can lead to these brain pathways being hijacked by intense dopamine signals. A great example of this is the drug cocaine. When people take it, it floods the brain with dopamine, and the brain changes its programming to want to take cocaine again and again and again. The dopamine pathways are supposed to guide people towards survival, have now been taken over by a new stimulus, which releases more dopamine and is much stronger behavioral reinforcer than anything in your natural environment. But here's where it gets really interesting. Sugar and highly processed junk foods can have that same effect as drugs of abuse. They function as super stimuli. They flood the brain with much more dopamine than we would get by eating real food like an apple or an egg. Numerous studies have shown this to be true. Junk foods and sugar flood the reward system with dopamine, particularly a brain area called the nucleus accumbens, which is strongly implicated in addiction. Sugar also has some effects on the opioid pathways within the brain. We were just talking about the opioid pathways in chat yesterday. The same system manipulated by drugs like heroin or morphine. This is why highly processed sugar-laden foods can make some people lose control over their consumption. They hijack the same brain pathways as drug abuse. And again, as mobile device use, as video games, as
alcohol,
high fructose corn syrup. Well, alcohol I haven't really seen, but I guess if you have some sort of addiction gene, I would say. I don't know. I haven't looked in alcohol. I haven't seen that ever mentioned, though. But maybe it produces dopamine.
Sure does.
Number two, foods can lead to powerful cravings. Cravings are a powerful feeling. People often confuse them with hunger, but those two are not the same thing. Hunger is caused by various complex psychological signals that involve the body's need for energy and nutrients. However, people often get cravings despite having finished a fulfilling, nutritious meal. This is because cravings are not about satisfying your body's need for energy. Instead, it is the brain calling for reward. In other words, your brain drives you toward that dopamine opioid signal. Getting this sort of need for a highly rewarding food, even when the body is nourished and perhaps even too well nourished, is absolutely not natural and has nothing to do with real hunger. You know, one thing I discovered in my travels down the health path is that when you cut sugar out of your diet, like 99.99% worth, you get full a lot faster, and you don't crave it at all. You never, right. And then eventually when you even think of something sugary, you're like, meh, like you don't even have a taste for it.
Yeah, that's what eventually happens, but you have to kind of train yourself and your body to do that.
Right. Well, or you got to get rid of that dopamine connection between sugar and reward.
That's right.
It says cravings for junk foods are actually very similar to cravings for drugs, cigarettes, and other addictive substances, and the obsessive nature and thought processes are identical. See, now, like I said, they're tying this toward sugars, but we've already established over weeks of studies that there are many other things that interact with dopamine. So as I'm reading this, though, it's really making me wonder, like, where being able, now they've already shown what it can do to overstimulate. Now these new insecticides are going to look at regulating and shutting off dopamine.
Wow.
So it really makes me wonder what that could do to a human being if it can kill a mosquito.
Yeah, it's definitely going to just throw a monkey wrench into the whole works.
Yeah, it's going to make people unstable for sure.
Exactly.
Number three, imagining imaging. Sorry, imaging studies have shown that junk foods light up the same brain areas as drug abuse. Tracking activity in the brain is difficult but not impossible. Researchers often use devices like fMRI scanners to sense changes in blood flow in specific areas of the brain. Because the blood flow is directly tied to activation of neurons, they can use these devices to measure which areas of the brain are being activated. Using such devices, studies have shown that both food and drug cues activate the same brain regions and that the same areas are activated when people crave junk food, or drugs. Number four, a tolerance to the reward effect builds up. When the brain gets flooded with dopamine, a protective mechanism ensues. The brain starts reducing its number of dopamine receptors in order to keep things balanced. This is called downregulation, and it is the reason we develop a tolerance. This is a well-known feature for drugs of abuse. People need progressively larger and larger doses because the brain reduces its number of receptors. There's even some evidence that shows that the same applies to junk food. This is the reason why junk food addicts sometimes end up eating huge amounts in a sitting. Tolerance is one hallmark of addiction and is common to all drugs of abuse and applies to sugar and junk food as well. Oh, I don't know. Let's read the rest of the titles. Many people binge on junk foods. Cross-sensitization. Lab animals can switch from drugs to sugar and vice versa. Wow, that's crazy. Lab
Yeah.
animals can switch from drugs to sugar
That's weird. You get the same effect.
and get the same effect. Yes, the studies have shown that lab animals that have become dependent on sugar can easily switch to amphetamine or cocaine.
Jeez.
Wow.
That's insane. Boy, don't give anybody ideas. They're gonna start like snorting sugar next to get high. I mean,
That's
oh my
crazy.
God.
Abstaining can lead to withdrawal symptoms. This is exactly what we were talking about. Withdrawal symptoms are another key feature of addiction. And when the addicted individuals experience adverse, this is when addicted individuals experience adverse symptoms when they stop ingesting the substance they are addicted to. A prominent example is caffeine withdrawal. I can attest to that, like the freaking ice pick to the forehead. A lot of people who are addicted to caffeine get headaches, feel tired, and become irritable if they abstain from coffee for long periods of time. Rats that are made dependent on sugar experience clear withdrawal symptoms when sugar is removed or when they are given a drug that blocks the effects of sugar in the brain. So just like the dopamine, blocking the dopamine in the brain, there definitely will be some sort of withdrawal. These symptoms include teeth chattering, head shakes, tremors, similar to withdrawal symptoms experienced from opiate addiction. I was actually reading something this morning talking about Parkinson's disease, and they've discovered that Parkinson's disease is caused by a lack of dopamine in the brain.
Whoa.
Tremors.
That's huge.
Yeah, that is huge.
My grandmother had Parkinson's.
Did she?
Yeah, jeez.
And number 10, food addiction symptoms satisfy the official medical criteria for addiction. Wow, and this is the DSM-5, by the way. So apparently they have a food addiction in there. There's no blood test, breathalyzer, or urine test, but it is based upon the DSM-5. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
So, I mean, they are addicting us to many different things, and they're going to take them away.
Yeah,
And they're going to make you a slave.
when society collapses and you can't and it no longer get all
You
of these
can't get your
things,
device. You can't, you don't have power. You can't charge up your cell phone. You can't get your high fructose corn syrup. You can't
Nope.
get your whatever.
Coffee, can't get your pop, you can't get your aspartame, you can't get your, I mean, it's all the way down the line. People are going to go insane.
Yeah.
Wow. If this isn't like a setup waiting to happen, I don't know what is.
I pulled up something under medical news-medicalnet.net for functions of dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter released by the brain that plays a number of roles in humans and other animals, and some of its notable functions are in movement, memory, pleasurable reward, behavior and cognition, attention span, inhibition of prolactin production, sleep, mood, and learning. So they're messing around with all of these different,
All at once, too,
yeah,
which
all at
is
once.
insidious.
Learn, I mean, especially when you think of the children and you think of their addiction to electronic devices, to sugary foods, to video games. This is affecting everything.
And people get addicted to working out, too.
And working out also produces dopamine.
That's right.
You feel great when you work out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it actually, that is what motivates me. Once you get started, it's easy to keep going. It's just getting started.
Right, that's the whole big thing. But the reward is at the end, when you're all done with
Dopamine
it.
and oxytocin actually are what get produced, as well as serotonin.
That's right.
Anyway, back to this dopamine. Excess and deficiency of this vital chemical is the cause of several disease conditions. Parkinson's disease and drug addiction are some of the examples of problems associated with abnormal dopamine levels and psychopathy, we discovered. Dopamine is produced in the dopaminergic neurons in the ventral tegmental area of the midbrain, the substantia nigra pars compacta in the acute nucleus of the hypothalamus. A part of the brain called the basal ganglia regulates movement. The basal ganglia, in turn, depends on a certain amount of dopamine to function at peak efficiency. The actions of dopamine occur via the dopamine receptors. Dopamine reduces the influence of indirect pathways and increases the actions of direct pathways within the basal ganglia. Where there is a deficiency in dopamine in the brain, movements may become delayed and uncoordinated. On the flip side, if there is an excess of dopamine, the brain causes the body to make unnecessary movements such as repetitive tics. So not enough, you become delayed and uncoordinated. And I think that's what Dr. Huber was talking about in the bees. They were getting lost, remember? And they weren't
Yes.
taking direct paths. And if you have too much, then you start having the tic movements.
Right.
Dopamine is the chemical that mediates pleasure in the brain. It is released during pleasurable situations and stimulates one to seek out pleasurable activity or occupation. This means food, sex, drugs of abuse, and there are also stimulants of dopamine release in the brain, particularly in areas such as the nucleus accumbens and the prefrontal cortex. Cocaine and amphetamines inhibit the reuptake of dopamine. Cocaine is a dopamine transporter blocker that competitively inhibits dopamine uptake to increase the presence of dopamine. Amphetamine increases the concentration of dopamine in the synaptic gap, but by a different mechanism. Amphetamines are similar to the structure of dopamine and so can enter the presynaptic neuron via its dopamine transporters. By entering, amphetamines force dopamine molecules out of their storage vesicles. By increasing the presence of dopamine, both of these lead to increased pleasurable feelings and addiction. Levels of dopamine in the brain, especially in the prefrontal cortex, help in improved working memory. However, this is a delicate balance, and as levels increase or decrease to abnormal levels, your memory suffers. So, in either direction, you have memory loss. Now, think about that. Like, how advantageous would it be to them to have people not have long-term memories about some of the shit that's been pulled?
They would love it. That's what
They
their whole
absolutely.
directive is.
Absolutely. It works to their advantage for us not to have long-term memories. Dopamine also helps in focus and attention. Vision helps a dopamine response in the brain, and this in turn helps one to focus and direct their attention. Dopamine may be responsible for determining what stays in short-term memory on an imagined response to certain information. Reduced dopamine concentrations in the prefrontal cortex are thought to contribute to attention deficit disorder. So when they start reducing dopamine levels, you get ADD.
Wow.
Dopamine in the frontal lobes of the brain control the flow of information from other areas of the brain. Disorders of dopamine in this region lead to a decline in neurocognitive functions, especially, again, your memory, attention, and problem solving. So, you know, they're crying about school test scores and stuff. Maybe you need to get the kids off the games and the high fructose corn syrup.
And the vaccines.
Well, the vaccines are a whole separate issue. I'm just talking about dopamine.
Right, right.
And the effects of dopamine on the body. But, I mean, they affect memory, attention span, and problem-solving skills.
Yeah, that's huge.
Some medications used in conditions like schizophrenia act as a dopamine antagonist, and that's what we read back in that first article talking about the insecticide for reducing dopamine in mosquitoes, and they were saying that it was the same chemical as what they were using for schizophrenia. Older so-called typical antipsychotics most commonly act on the D2 receptors, while the atypical drugs also act on D1, D3, and D4. Dopamine is also the neuroendocrine inhibitor of the secretion of prolactin from the anterior pituitary gland. Dopamine produced by neurons in the arcute nucleus of the hypothalamus is released by the hypothalo-hypophyseal blood vessels of the median eminence, which supply the pituitary gland. This acts on lactotrope cells that produce prolactin. These cells can produce prolactin in the absence of dopamine, and dopamine is occasionally called the prolactin inhibiting factor, which, you know what, I should have probably looked up. I know prolactin is very important, and whether or not it's your growth hormone would be what I would almost think if it was for your pituitary. I don't know if you want to look that up while I'm reading. Prolactin.
Oh, okay.
Also, social functioning, low D2 receptor binding is found in people with social anxieties and social phobias. Now, interesting to note that as kids do all of their socializing on social media, on electronic devices, that they have a real problem socializing in real situations. Some features of negative schizophrenia, which is social resolve, social withdrawal, apathy, and anhedonia, are also thought to be related to low dopaminergic states in certain areas of the brain. On the other hand, those with bipolar disorder in manic state become hypersocial, and this is credited to an increase in dopamine. Mania can be reduced by dopamine-blocking antipsychotics. I mean, this is no rinky-dink chemical in the body.
No.
Is what I'm trying to show here. There are so many things that dopamine controls in the brain, and either an overabundance or a lack thereof cause real major problems. So the fact that they're screwing around with regulating dopamine through getting us addicted to things, number one. And I mean, that's very insidious. But now looking at dopamine acting insecticides is really horrifying.
Absolutely.
Abnormally high dopaminergic transmission has been linked to psychosis and schizophrenia, which is what we said. Both the typical and atypical antipsychotics work largely in inhibiting dopamine at the receptor level. Did you look at what?
Yeah, it's a hormone, prolactin. It's PRL, is a protein that in humans is best known for its role in enabling female animals to produce milk.
Oh, well, then lactating, that's for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder why it works on the pituitary.
Yeah.
So, all right, even better. So it causes females of the species to stop producing milk to feed their children.
Yeah, it's secreted in the pituitary gland in response to eating, mating, estrogen treatment, or ovulation, and nursing.
Oh, so it could be eugenics.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. It's what it sounds like to me. Total eugenics. It's targeted. What'd you say? Targeted medicine.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. It also works in pain processing as well as in nausea and vomiting. So there you go.
Interesting. Some people are addicted to vomiting.
That's true. I don't know though. Vomiting is like one of those things that if I would have to like jump off of a real high bridge somewhere not to puke, I might think about jumping off the real high bridge somewhere.
Well, if you're a bulimic, then it, definitely produces dopamine when you do it, whenever you do it. That's why people get addicted. It's insidious.
Does bulimia produce dopamine?
Oh, heck yeah. Every time that finger goes down the throat and then something comes up, yeah, dopamine. It's an addictive process. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Oh, I guess, and it's tied to binge eating as well.
That's right.
Wow, that's great. And anorexia. I mean, seriously, messing with dopamine is just a real slippery slope.
Yeah, and they are coming out with so that was great. It was a great you started the show out like that, with the insecticides that are gonna take dopamine out of the equation almost and kill the mosquitoes, and then you end up with this. That's unbelievable.
Well, here, let's go to the very last one. So, everyone remember going back to Ebola when we were looking at one of their mad science gone mad experiments where they were taking the tobacco plants and drown the genetically modified tobacco plants, drowning them in whatever this expressed substance was that they got from these mice that they then turned into a fluid that then they were drowning the tobacco and making them make Ebola vaccine, right? Remember
Yep.
all
Oh,
that?
yeah. Yes.
Check this out. This was out of sciencealert.com from yesterday. Scientists have figured out how to boil water 3 times faster. And the first thing I was thinking was, wow, cool. So why do we have nuclear reactors then? To boil water. So maybe this could, if it could boil water 3 times faster, wouldn't this make it more productive than a nuclear reactor? I would think so. It says that they can also use this technique in really kick-ass computers using a virus extracted from tobacco plants. Ding, 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 ding. And there we go. Ding, 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 ding. All right, guys, it's Thursday night. Make sure everyone sticks around. Mr. Kevin Blanche is up next and all kinds of great radio.